The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We have arrived for the final hour on a Wednesday afternoon. We thank you for being a part of this program. We've talked about this since the story broke a couple of days ago, and most of the shrapnel has been heading in the direction of Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA. And the latest coming from The Athletic, from Dana O'Neill, the outstanding writer and columnist there, under the heading, NCAA President Mark Emmert doesn't get it, because clearly he's just not capable of doing so. The piece in The Athletic is an eviscerating takedown of the man who is supposedly in charge of college athletics. Dana joins us now, Dana O'Neill. Dana, thank you for the time. It's great to have you here, and what an amazing piece you've written. And you just wonder sometimes when people will learn, but often their arrogance and hubris gets in the way. Thanks for the time, and let's hear from you. What is going on with Mark Emmert?
You know, Paul, it's like you said. I mean, if this were a first time or a one-off, I think we would all be like, all right, give the guy a break. He hasn't been in this situation before. But he's been in countless situations of complex and difficult crises in his tenure at the NCAA. And his reaction time, if you would say, as an athlete, is not very good. He just, you know, to me, there was a simple way to handle this, and that's to act. It's one thing to have a crisis dropped in your lap. It's another about how you handle it, and he chose not to handle it.
Yeah, and you know, this story broke the other day when a young player from, I believe it was Oregon, put something out on social media. Everyone reacted, and I want you to, because you do this in your piece, go through the timeline, because Emmert got it at first, and then it just got away from him. So what was his first reaction?
Well, I mean, that's just it. I mean, I guess, you know, the first reaction was no reaction. I mean, he didn't do, you know, they put out a statement at first saying that that space was never meant to be used as a weight room space, where they were going to have one after the, you know, once the Sweet 16 round started, which made no sense since the men already have one. And then he doubled back when we sat down with him, a few reporters, on Friday, saying, well, he didn't have all the information, that it was inexcusable, but he would get to the bottom of it. And then the next day he talked to an economics group here in Indiana and basically just said, well, you know, it wasn't meant to be the workout space anyway, but once the video got out, the video got out. So it was like 100 different reactions, none of them truthful, or at least seemingly truthful. And the simple solution was, you know, I likened it to like when a hurricane hits, the president of the United States doesn't go to fix the hurricane because he can't, but he flies in to figure out what's going on and to help and to talk to people. That's what he needed to do. He needed to be in San Antonio, and said he was parading around Hinkle Fieldhouse in the first round of the men's games.
Yeah, and based on how you described it, the president probably wouldn't have had more security around him, would he?
No, I don't think so. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, Tinkle Fieldhouse, or, you know, and it's a basketball game, so people don't get terribly dressed up. So when you see, like, a bunch of people in suits walking briskly by and somebody in the middle, you kind of turn around like, wait, who's that? And then I looked up, I'm like, oh, okay, it's Mark Emmert. I mean, I don't think he would have been accosted otherwise, but there you have it.
Not to pile on here, but why not? I was dumbfounded by his handling last summer when the world of college football was desperate, pleading for someone to take charge, and he went into some silo in Montana and couldn't be found until the sport was almost destroyed. I mean, what is he supposed to do? I mean, what's his job description now that he's been there for, what, 11 years, making millions and millions of dollars a year?
Right. I mean, in some level, it's a very difficult job, right? Because, you know, as you know, conference commissioners control a lot. And in the NCAA, it's the board of directors and the council of presidents who control a lot. But theoretically, at least in my opinion, he can bring people together, right? I mean, in the football situation, he is not necessarily in position to make a decision on behalf of all of college football. But he is in position, as he did with basketball, or as the NCAA did with basketball, to put out recommendations, to get people in a room or a Zoom or whatever you want to get them in and have conversations so some consensus is reached. You know, that to me is that's what Dan Gavitt did with college basketball this year for the men's basketball side, and that's what he should have been doing through much of this. I think, you know, I understand the difficulties of the position because it's a, quote, membership institution, like they like to remind us all of the time. But somebody has to be in charge of getting the members on the same page every once in a while.
And Dana, I just must be naive because I thought in this year of all years that there would be equality, at least in terms of how the tournaments are playing out. But it looked like I was fairly naive thinking that women in 2021 would even be remotely treated not on the same level, but at least within on the same continent as men. But apparently that didn't turn out to be the case.
That was my question. I actually asked Mark Emmert that question. I said, so basically, if you're lining up, okay, the men's tournament gets 10,000 square feet for a weight room. Don't you just then say, okay, the women's get 10,000 square feet of weight room space. The men get 25 things of deodorant, the women. It's like, you know, when I go Christmas shopping, I make sure my kids have the same number of boxes so nobody's angry with me, right? It's the same idea. You know, it's not complicated. That's what I couldn't wrap my arms around. Like, this is such a simple fix. Like, it's not only the right thing to do, it's a very easy thing to do. And that's when he said, well, he didn't have all of the information. And this was 2 days after the whole thing had spun out of control. And I thought, well, geez, isn't that kind of your job to have the information by now? I don't have an answer for that, because certainly in this day and age, when we talk about, you know, gender equity and all of these things, people like to use a lot of words. It seems important to make them, you know, an actuality. But this year, particularly when everyone is stuck in a, quote, bubble circumstance, it's really easy to do the same thing in both places.
Yeah, it is. Dana, I know we've been reading a lot about royalty lately, and with Harry and Meghan, but does he have? I know he wasn't appointed to this job for life. It just seems that way.
Right. It's actually funny that you said that, because as I was writing my column, I kept thinking, like, I feel like he's like the queen. She's got that wave perfected. We all, you know, although people like tend to love the queen, they don't really love Mark Emmert. But I thought the same thing. Like, she doesn't really do anything, but she's kind of there. Yeah, I mean, there is certainly a comparison of, like, kind of what is your impact at this point? And, you know, I think that the problem with a lot of these committees within the NCAA is they all turn over, right? Like, you have somebody's on a committee for 2 years, 4 years, 6 years. And nobody wants to, you know, nobody gets rid of them. And then the next group comes in, and the next group comes in, and then they just kind of pass it down the line, and nothing happens. I don't know if this will get people fired up enough to do anything. Nothing else has in the past. Like I said, it's a thankless job, so somebody else would have to stand up for it. But here we sit. It's just a mess. It's a silly mess. It was so easily avoided.
And I know there's been reaction, and, you know, your column certainly is very strong and fair and to the point. But I wonder, you tell me, everyone said the right thing in the aftermath, but it does seem like, because we're watching games today in the women's tournament and this weekend in the men's, that we're just going to keep marching on, seeing who gets who gets to the Final Four, and this story will go away.
Well, that's certainly their hope, because I think that was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back with me, honestly, is, you know, prior to all the stuff with the women's weight room, the men had started a thing here, hashtag not NCAA property, which the women also joined in. And one of their requests was to meet with Mark Emmert. And when we sat down with him, he said, well, I can absolutely do that. Unfortunately, it would have to be via Zoom because he's not in the bubble. And then he said yesterday that, no, he's going to wait to meet with them until after the tournament, which was so calculated, because obviously he knows by then people will have since forgotten, because the tournament won't be in the spotlight. And that's what they're all hoping for, that we're just going to get and crown a couple of champions and we'll go on to the next kerfuffle, whatever it's going to be.
And the most important thing is that the checks will cash, because this tournament
Correct.
Is going to be on television, or it is on television.
Yep, 100%. I mean, that to me was the message sent by that decision to not meet with the athletes now. It's like, you know, the business of basketball must march on. Your problems will come to us later.
Dana, finally, I know a lot of very prominent people, both inside the NCAA ecosystem, coaches, administrators, outside, you know, very prominent players have spoken out, but have the people that really matter in the industry spoken out, people that are critical to the infrastructure of this organization, presidents, commissioners, leaders? Have we really heard much other than blanket statements from them, or even have we heard that?
Not really. And that's what's got to happen. I mean, you asked me earlier about whether or not anything's going to change. Ultimately, you know, athletes and coaches can say a lot, and they have said quite a bit, but it's really up to the university presidents. I mean, those are the ones who make these decisions at the highest level. It's not even at some level, the commissioners. I would think that the commissioners could probably, you know, gin up some excitement among their presidents, but ultimately it is up to the presidents to make the call. And so until they are aggravated or embarrassed enough, nothing is going to change. And no, that is the one group, as usual, that we haven't heard from.
Well, thanks so much for being on. It's I can never get enough of fair columns on Mark Emmert. So you have made my day. Dana, thank you. It's always great to talk to you. You be well.
You too. Thanks, Paul.
Great stuff. And we're not piling on Mark Emmert. He's welcome. We're talking more about what he said and how his story has been so inconsistent. We will take a break. More to come in the final 45 minutes of this show. And we will talk to you right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back as we continue here on a Wednesday afternoon. Gary is up next in Virginia. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Great. I just have you ever heard of Art Bell?
Oh, sure. The guy that used to be on Late at Night, or he may still be. I don't know. I think he died.
No, he died like 3 years ago, but okay. I listen to him on YouTube all the time. But I just wanted to tell you that I loved him and respected him as a interviewer, and I considered you the same way with sports. I'm an ACC guy, and in the morning I listen to Laurel and Hardy for a little while. But then I always catch your show in the afternoon because you're so respectful with people, and I just wanted to tell you that you're high on my list because Art Bell is right at the top, and you're really close behind.
Well, thank you. No, Art Bell was an overnight national talk show host for many, many years. I used to hear him when I was up that late, and I mean, he was unconventional, as best I remember.
Yeah, he really was. He did just his topics were very controversial at sometimes, and that's what made it so good.
Well, Gary, thank you. I don't know how to thank you enough for putting me at least in the same breath as Art Bell. That means a great deal.
Well, you're right there, pal, and I just wanted to tell you that.
Thank you. You be well, and thanks for calling.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Very nice. Cat Daddy is next.
Big Ball, you looking good, sounding good. I heard y'all talking about Memphis, and my wife's from Memphis, and I lived there from 1979 to 1986. And can I drop some names of people I ran into?
Lay it on me.
Here we go. Now, I wrote a list down for you, people that I've met and talked to. Rufus Thomas.
Oh, yeah. Rufus. He was Carla's dad, wasn't
my
he?
Wife. Yes, sir.
Funky.
Yes, sir.
But he did the, hold on, he did the Funky Chicken song, didn't he?
Yes, sir, he sure did. He was with Stax Records.
Right.
And also I met B.B. King.
That's a big name.
Cassius Clay. How about Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali?
You met Muhammad Ali?
And this is how it happened. They had just opened Bill Street up.
Sure.
And it was a big ceremony. I mean, you probably was there, too.
I wasn't.
But we're sitting there. Oh, it was crazy. It's nice over there now. I mean, when I first moved
there. No, I was there about 2 years ago. It's unbelievable.
Oh, it's nice. But we were standing on the corner across from the Budweiser Theater. And I think Carl Perkins was there at the time. Anyway, we're standing. Here comes a limousine up. And Velveeta's daddy, Roscoe, kicked and said, look at the limo pull up. Wonder who's in there. And guess who got out? Muhammad Ali.
That's amazing.
And we were all up. Oh, he talked to us, signed autographs for us. And then later on, I met the lady that married and cooked for Elvis Presley. Also, I met his uncle and his wife, Priscilla. We had gone down to Graceland and took Velveeta's family off to tour the place. And Priscilla Presley was in there, and she was just as nice as she could be. Oh, you talking about beautiful? Ooh, my. But there's a few famous people I met. And I remember one thing Rufus just said, and I'll say this and get off the phone so some other folks can get in. But Rufus always used to say, it takes both the black keys and the white keys of the piano to play the star.
That's great.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Cat Daddy. That's amazing. What a story of some old Memphis blues there. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's continue and check out Mike, who is in West Virginia. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, buddy?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I just want to share something with you real fast. It'll be quick and let you make a bunch of money. Back before this pandemic started, I'll be honest with you, I didn't really care much for you because I had read things. And me being a Big 12 guy, I didn't really look into you. And then when the pandemic was by getting going, sorry about that, and you were one of the first people to really fire back up with sports, and that's when I started watching your show, and since then I've watched your show just about every evening that I get a chance to do it.
Well, Mike, thank you. I hear where you're coming from, and I'm not, it's always ridiculous to talk about yourself in the third person, but I'm glad you experienced that. We're maybe not as bad as the bark seems to be, but I also will say this: I think the pandemic changed this show too. So you may have caught us at the right time.
Man, I never watched it before. This pandemic, and then I was just dying for something sports related, man, because that's about all I do.
Yeah, Mike, you think back to a year ago. You think back to a year ago today. There was not a single sports event going on anywhere, really, in the world.
No, not at all, man. But I just want to tell you, you're doing a great job, and keep it up.
Well, Mike, thank you. Your comments mean a great deal. You take care of yourself, and appreciate it. Call again. Jeff is up next in Florida. Hello, Jeff. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Paul. First time caller.
Thank you.
I just want to ask you something. Should have Jim Harbaugh been reinstated as Michigan's football coach?
No, I don't think so. I think he should have been let go.
So do I. And then I want to ask you secondly, should, after Brady wins his 8th Super Bowl, should he be the next Michigan football coach?
You know, I've never thought about that, but I would think Tom might be interested in being the head coach there. That would be pretty amazing.
Yes, it would, because he was like 4-0 against Ohio State, beat Alabama as a collegiate football player, and then went on to win 7, you know, Super Bowls, and possibly an 8th, and then retire, and then hopefully Ann Arbor will let Harbaugh go and hire Brady if he's interested.
That's a great. Keep pushing that one, Jeff. Hey, thank you for the call. That's a, you never know what people do after retirement, but that's a possibility. Ross is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Ross.
Hi, Paul. Listen, I have a question for you. I want to comment. At the end of the LSU game, when they had just a fairly a decent chance of maybe getting back in it, there was a no call on a foul on the LSU player shooting, and then there was a call on LSU on a rebounding foul. Now, is it possible that the NCAA did not want and gave a directive to the refs to keep LSU out because they didn't want to be soiled with all the crap that LSU is going through?
Ross, if that did happen, it would be one of the biggest scandals of all time. I don't believe so. I always get accused of being naive when it comes to officiating and conspiracies, and there are all kinds of conspiracies out there, but I would give the NCAA the benefit of the doubt. I don't think so.
One more quick question. Out of all the commentators, announcers, analysts, not one of them made any comment about the no-call obvious foul on LSU. Now, why did that happen?
I'm trying to remember who did the game for. It was on TBS. Do you remember who the broadcasters were?
I have no idea.
Ross, I don't know that, because that is the job of the commentator as the game is unfolding to describe what is going on, and a call like that, as important as it was, should have been explained at least. Whether they thought it was a bad call or not, they should have explained why there was a no call.
It was obvious. They showed the replay. The guy got hacked going to the basket, and no one commented. Not the announcers calling the game. Not the analyst, you know, afterwards. And it seems to me that the NCAA and the tournament didn't want LSU to progress because they didn't want to get caught up in the LSU stuff, which would have been brought to the forefront if LSU had made the Sweet 16.
Well, Ross, I do agree with you on that. I thought their seed was low. And if LSU had gone to the Final Four, you and I both know that Will Wade would have been at the center of the attention.
Yeah. Oh, and one more comment, if I may. You know, we're talking about all this inactivity and LSU's doing nothing about their current situation, even though Kansas is kicking people to the curb. Is it possible that LSU is holding Pat on a bad hand with the coaching and administration because they don't want the player sexual misconduct and the athlete sexual misconduct to come to light also, so that they've got a time bomb and they can deal with them independently?
Yeah, you may be right about that. I mean, I also think, Ross, sometimes, and we're up against a break here, the stories, they do sound terrible, and I would agree with everyone down there that has commented on it, but you also have to put the puzzle together. I don't know what they know. The Les Miles case, he probably should have, something more should have happened to him than what happened, but when you get too many lawyers involved, you are going to get really squirrely results. We're up against a break. Let's continue with your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We still have 30 minutes to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back, and it's great to have all of you here on a late Wednesday afternoon. Let's talk to Jim from Tuscaloosa. Well, not that Jim.
Okay.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
All right, I was just wondering, Paul, I know you're a big Tide Hoops fan. I was just thinking, what are your actual opinions on the Tide winning it all this year?
Well, if you took me into a casino in Vegas, that would not be my first pick. I think they have one big mountain to overcome, and that's Gonzaga.
Yes. Follow up question after that. So Michigan FSU, what do you think about that matchup?
I really think FSU might be more difficult than Michigan. I like Alabama's chances against Michigan.
I agree. I think FSU is a better team, honestly, than Michigan.
Well, they probably are right now. They may not be in 2 weeks, but it doesn't matter in 2 weeks. So I'm pretty high on Alabama getting out of that regional.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I know it's fun to talk about, but if Alabama got to the Final Four, roll the dice. What difference does it make?
Exactly. Everybody's got a chance to make it to the Final Four.
Yeah, something could happen to Gonzaga. I don't think anything is going to happen to them, but it's a good question, though. Hey, thank you very much. Really good to hear from you. Paul is up next in Alabama. Hello, Paul.
Hello there. How you doing today, Paul?
We are doing wonderful. How about you?
All doing well. Our Alabama women got blown away today. And I hate to say I didn't get to watch it, but it reminded me of a former Alabama player that I knew real well, Betsy Harris. Do you remember her?
Vaguely, I do.
Yeah, she was from Decatur, Alabama. I mean, Mississippi, rather. I had her in class one time.
When did Betsy play? I'm trying to remember.
It was in the 90s.
Okay.
She was at one time the high score leader at Bama for the women.
Paul, what did you teach?
She was. I've had her in a anatomy class. At Decatur High School.
Man.
And she was a real, real fine young lady. She's coaching somewhere. She's coaching in Florida somewhere right now.
I have to tell you, I hated subjects like that, Paul. I don't know how you did it.
Well, it was tough. one other thing y'all were talking about, name dropping. Remember Harlan Hill?
I do, yes.
Harlan was a good friend of mine, and I happened to be at the hospital when he died.
Oh, my goodness.
And his brother, Doyle, and I went to college together over in Mississippi. And But Harlan was a great guy, and he was my children's principal at Brooks High School.
Well, that's fantastic.
But Harlan was a wonderful person. I really enjoyed him, and my kids did too.
Paul, how long did you teach?
That one semester, I filled in for somebody.
Okay.
I was a minister in the area, and
a minister.
I've been a minister for over 55 years.
That's some career to be a minister for. I mean that's. I'm not being critical here, but dealing with the politics of some churches, that could be a challenge.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm retired now, and I'm in my 80th year.
So. That's fantastic. I was friends with a minister's daughter in junior high and high school, and I mean we were just good friends. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but a minister in a moderately small town or even a bigger town is a real challenge.
Well, yeah, it is, but that's what I like.
Well, I don't know. Listen, it's hard to find a more meaningful and fulfilling profession than that.
Well, I really enjoyed my career, and but anyway, I just wanted to see if you remembered.
Well, I did. Well, Paul, thank you very much, and thanks for sharing your story.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Wow, that talk about a career that is got a lot to it. Being a minister in a small Alabama town. Let's check in with Gary, who is in Tennessee. Hello, Gary.
Hello.
Hey, Gary. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Just wondering. Not anybody has said anything about that tie you got.
You're the first.
I am. It looks nice.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
I've decided to finally welcome. Last year, I just didn't feel like celebrating spring too much, but this year, I'm ready to roll.
It looks great on you. It looks great.
Thank you.
I'm the typical Tennessee fan. It sucks what happened to us during the tournament, but want to change subjects a little bit. What do you think about what Josh Heupel's doing so far?
I think it's gone pretty well. We had Blake Topmeyer on a couple hours ago, and you know he seemed really upbeat. He covers Tennessee for the New Sentinel, and I was really encouraged. The Virginia Tech quarterback transfer they are very high on. And while I don't think this is going to be a loaded team, I think they could scratch out six or seven wins.
Well, I think fundamentals might come into play a little bit because when you're at UCF and you're doing that kind of thing, you got to figure out a way.
You're right.
And we went from top five in recruiting to only dropping to 19th. I think that's a win.
Yeah, Gary, the only thing that concerns me, and you may know the numbers better, is just what the transfer portal did to the roster in terms of depth. But beyond that, I am, thanks for the call. I am starting to appreciate the compliment. I am starting to feel more upbeat after talking to Blake about Tennessee and what Heupel is doing. He's been quiet but efficient. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.